Good morning, everybody. Can I give you a very warm welcome as we meet together to worship God this morning? It's lovely to be together and to fix our eyes on our God. It's great to see you all. Do you know, I look forward to Sunday mornings when we're gathering together, and Sunday afternoons too, when we come together as the Lord's people. And that blessing and encouragement to fellowship, but our fellowship is most joyful because God meets with His people. That's what makes it truly wonderful when we come together. The Apostle Paul encourages us in his opening chapter of his first letter to Timothy, this great statement of praise as he seeks to encourage Timothy. He says this: to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's why we're here this morning, not because of us, but because of God, to give God glory, to bring to the King of the ages our praise and our thanks, to bow before the one who is immortal and invisible, the only God, and to give him all the honor and glory forever. That's our purpose this morning. That's why we've come, to fix our eyes on him. And our first hymn this morning, as we begin this time of worship, number 12 in Christian hymns, if you're using the hymn books, those words put to music for us: immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Thank you. Our God in heaven, the purest praise that we can bring to you is when the words that we sing are your words that you've given to us in the scriptures. We praise you that you are the King of the ages, the immortal, invisible, only God, the God worthy of honor and glory forever and ever and ever. And we thank you for these words that have helped us this morning to express the greatness and the wonder of who you are, that you are a God who dwells in unapproachable light, that you are holy and pure. You're the God who is awesome in power and glory and majesty. And we come to worship you. Your great name we praise. All praise we would render. And we would bring to you, our God in heaven, the glory and honor that belongs to your great and worthy name. You're a God who is mighty and powerful in all your ways, truly wise and good. A God of love and compassion, grace and kindness and mercy, the God of perfect truth and righteousness and uprightness. You are completely faithful to everything you've ever promised and said, and faithful to your people in every way. You're the God who gives life. You're the God who keeps life. And as we look at our own lives, these words are so true to us. We blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree and wither and perish. But you, our God, are unchanging. And from one day to the next, from one century to the next, from one millennium to the next, you remain the same. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are always the God of grace. You are always the God of glory. You are always the God of truth, the God of power, the God who created, the God who loves his people, the God who redeems his people. In all your ways, you are the great I am. We bow before you this morning. It's our privilege and our joy to come into your holy presence, to rejoice in who you are, to be humbled as we think of your greatness and yet how much you love us and how in Christ you have visited this world and now by your Holy Spirit live in the lives of your people. Father, maybe this morning we've come to church feeling like those dry bones in Ezekiel. Feeling after the week that we've had, perhaps with the difficulties we've faced, the challenges, the disappointments, the difficult news, that we're just like dry bones and that we have no strength, no life to worship you. But we pray, like you did for the prophet seeing those dry bones in the desert, come, we pray, by your Spirit and raise us up, give us life, revive us as we come to worship you, that we might be raised up as your people, strengthened and renewed, and that this time of worship, this time of fellowship, would give you honor and praise and be so good for our souls. Oh, our God, we need you. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, we are nothing. But in Christ, we have everything. And Lord, perhaps this week the world has tried to pull us away from you. Bring us back, we pray, and fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord, we want to see you lifted high, for your name to be exalted. And so in all that we do this morning, receive the honor and glory and praise that is yours alone. May our Lord Jesus Christ be magnified. May his great work of salvation be proclaimed. And may your Holy Spirit be working in us to transform us as your people. And for those who don't yet know Christ, to bring them from death to life. Give them eyes to see, we pray, the beauty of Jesus. Oh, because he is beyond compare. And we love him. Oh, that we would love him more. So may our time together this morning be transformative for us. Lord, come and be with us. Come down, we pray. And bless our time. For we humbly ask all this in the precious, mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we have two readings from God's Word this morning. The first is from the Psalms, Psalm 119, not the whole Psalm, but starting at verse 89 and down to verse 105. These words will be helpful for us in what we're looking at in Exodus a little later on. So Psalm 119 from verse 89 to verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 89 again. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Oh, may God bless his word to us and help us to understand what it means for us this morning. Again, can I welcome you all? It's lovely to see you. And for any joining us online this morning as well, a very good morning to you. We're equally glad to know you're joining with us to worship God as we have this time on this Lord's Day together. Let me just give some notices. It's a little briefer this week because it's half term. Some of the normal meetings aren't happening. But our afternoon service, 5:30 later today, we're looking forward to having Dan James from Avenue Community Church coming. He's going to be bringing God's word and sharing with us as well their plans as they look to start a work on the Ayres Monsell estate. And if you're able to make it this afternoon, please do come along. It's always good to meet again around God's word, but good to hear as well of opportunities in other parts of the city so that we can pray for them and see if there's ways that we can support what they're trying to do there. So that's 5:30, and our speaker will be Dan James. There's no ladies' meeting this week, but the Shed is meeting on Wednesday, 10 o'clock. Details there for you in the link, so please do have a look. And our midweek meeting this week here in the building will be time around the Lord's table and prayer. And Joshua Rowe will be leading that time for us. The next Lord's Day, God willing, our services 10:30 and 5:30. And we have another visiting speaker next Sunday afternoon, Peter Rush from Market Overton. So please do be praying for him as well as he prepares to come in a week's time. A slight advance notice for you, something that we're having here in the church on Thursday, the 11th of November, Remembrance Day. The story of two crosses. Fascinating story about this man, William Coltman, and his award for bravery, served during the First World War, but he was a Christian, and he's got an incredible testimony. And Tim Coltman, his great-grandson, is coming to share the story with us, but also bring the gospel out in what he shares. We'd love you to be able to come and to be able to invite people as well who might be interested, because it's Remembrance Day and thinking of the history, maybe that might interest them, catch their attention, but we want people to hear the gospel. So there are these invites available, so if you want to take some, please do. They're on the back and in the foyer as well. Pass them on to folks and pray for that opportunity to share the gospel and for people to come and hear the story of what this man was able to do, but of how he himself was saved, what happened as Christ worked in his heart. So please do note that in your diaries. There's details on the link for you. If you want any more information, please do have a word with Paul or one of the elders about what the evening will be. But that's 7:30, Thursday, the 11th of November. There's lots of things for us to be praying for, people to be praying for as well. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Down here with you as well, and then you need to look at the wall because it's time for the story, and then we'll have our song. You've got your bag. Okay, so if you want to come and sit at the front, that would be great. Are you coming, boys? There we go. Shall I sit on this one? Shall I sit on here with you? Okay. Right. I'm going to sit on my knee.
Oh, hi there. It's James with your children's talk. Do come inside. Well, have you ever had a friend to stay at your house? It's exciting, isn't it? It might be that you want to show them around your house. Maybe introduce them to one of your pets, or even better, your favourite game. Four! Oops. And when we have guests round, we like to do nice things for them, like take their coat, or say, "Would you like a drink?" We do this to make them feel at home. In today's story, Jesus was made to feel at home by two women, Martha and Mary. They were sisters who lived together in the same house. When Jesus arrived in their village, Martha invited him to come and stay at their house. Now, it was custom in those times to sit down at a table and eat your food. And we're told that Martha was busy serving the food while Jesus began to teach. But someone wasn't helping Martha. Instead, she was listening. Mary was listening at Jesus' feet to all of his amazing teaching. Well, we're not told how long this went on for, but as she was preparing and serving for the guests, Martha began to get more and more frustrated. Maybe she thought, "Here I am, slaving away, and no one is here to help me, not even my sister." Well, we can imagine she thought this, because she came up to Jesus next and told him this. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Ah, we might be thinking, that's it. Jesus would tell Mary to help Martha. Yes. Do you think he did? Well, surprisingly, Jesus actually said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and bothered about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So, what does this all mean? Is helping Mum and Dad around the house wrong? No. It's great to help, and Jesus told us to be servants. So, was Martha wrong to serve? Well, no, she wasn't. She had good intentions. She meant well by her actions. But Jesus had something more to say. What did Jesus really mean?
Jesus was saying that there are times when listening to him takes first place in our lives, above other things, even the good things. The words of Jesus are an even better thing. There are lots of things today that may distract us from the truth and voice of God, and there must be times when we give our time fully to God and let him speak to us. That may be in church, or reading and studying the Bible. It may be a prayer time, or spiritual discussion with friends.
There are lots of distractions in our world today, even nice ones like cats. But make sure that you're making time for God among all the other distractions you have today. Bye for now.
That's our song that we're going to sing. We're going to sing "Listen to the Sun." And it's one that we know. So just wait for the words to pop up for us. Okay, "Listen to the Sun." I think we sing that through two times and then the slide goes into the next one with the verse. Okay, "Listen to the Son of God." Listen to the sun. Listen to the sun. Listen to the Son of God. I must make sure that I've heard every single word as I listen to the Son of God. Let's do that bit again. Listen to the Son. Listen to the Son. Listen to the Son of God. I must make sure that I've heard every single word as I listen to the Son of God. His words are always true. He knows the best for me and you. So I'll listen to the Son of God. He's the light and he's the way for me to follow every day. So I'll listen to the Son of God. Listen to the Son. Listen to the Son. Listen to the Son of God. I must make sure that I've heard every single word as I listen to the Son of God. Great, okay, if you're going up to Lions Cubs, if you want to make your way back with Sarah for Lions Cubs, that would be great. Thank you, Sarah. We're going to sing again before we come and read from God's word. It's the hymn, Speak, O Lord, very much a prayer as we come to listen to what God's going to be saying to us this morning, and it ties in so well with what James has just helpfully shared with us and the children about the need to listen to what the Lord is saying, that importance of what God would say. Speak, O Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, let's read again from God's word. If you have your Bible, please turn to Exodus chapter 35. We'll read the first 19 verses of this chapter. So just carrying on where we were before. We thought last time of Moses coming down the mountain and his face shining. And it tells us earlier in chapter 34, verses 31 to 32, Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And then we're coming now to what Moses actually said. So from chapter 35 onwards, this is what he says. So let's start at the first verse, Exodus 35, starting at verse 1. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution: gold, silver and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light, with its utensils and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests." Well, let's ask for God's help as we come to look at his word. Heavenly Father, often in our homes we're in the practice of saying grace before we have a meal. But as we come to feed on your word now, how much more we want to say thank you for what you've given to us and to ask for your blessing on it, that it would do us good in our souls and build us up and nourish us. Thank you, you're a God who speaks. And as we've just sung, we make that our prayer. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built. Build us up, we pray, and fill the earth with your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had deja vu? Have you ever had deja vu? Some nods, some smiles. Catches us unaware, doesn't it? When you're doing something, maybe you've gone somewhere or you're chatting with somebody and suddenly you get a sense that you've had this conversation before, or that you've been to this place before, or you've seen that set of circumstances before, and you can't quite put your finger on it, can you? And it's a really strange phenomenon. We're not time travelers. We've not kind of been backward and forward and you know, back to the future and all of that. It's not real, is it? Great fiction, but it's not real. But we do have these moments, don't we, sometimes? And I can't explain it. Don't ask me to give you the rationale and the reason behind what it is that happens. But we know if somebody says, "I've just had deja vu," it makes us smile, doesn't it? And maybe the smell of something or the sound of something that triggers us thinking. And I'm sure you've perhaps all had that experience at some point in your life. Maybe as we've just read Exodus 35, you've had a little bit of deja vu again. Because we've just read some things that are very, very similar. In fact, almost exactly the same to things that we've read earlier in Exodus. From chapter 25, God starts to give Moses the instructions for the tabernacle. It begins in exactly the same way, about the contributions and the things that are needed. And if you look at Exodus 25, those opening verses, you could almost read Exodus 25 and Exodus 35 and sort of bounce between the two, and you would get pretty much exactly the same thing. Why the repetition in God's word? Why the repetition that's almost exactly the same, almost verbatim, we might say, like a carbon copy of what was there? Why is it being said again? Why is it being repeated? You know, we understand that this is now Moses telling the people of Israel, but why does this have to be put into Scripture? For us who kind of aren't there needing to build the tabernacle, why do we have to hear it all in all the detail and all the minutiae again, what it is that God's instructing his people? And you know, there's been some clever reasons. Some scholars have looked at these things and they've said, oh, this is one of the reasons why we can't really trust the Bible. Because there's all these editorial problems and mistakes. And, you know, this has been put in later by somebody who hadn't read the chapters before. And they thought, oh, we mustn't miss this bit out. So let's put it in. And you know, it's another reason why we kind of think, well, the Bible's not entirely as perfect as people like to think it is. It does have some errors in it. And the editors have kind of not quite got it right. Surely they should have seen that. There's lots of other clever reasons that I just really don't want to give any time to, because they're not right. They're not right. But maybe as you read these words and you think about the chapters that we're coming to in Exodus, maybe you're thinking, why don't we just jump to chapter 40 and verse 16 when all of this is behind us and it's done, and then we're going to see, you know, the main event. We're going to see what's going to happen. Why don't we just get to that bit? Because this is important. This is important. So this morning, our subject is this, dealing with deja vu. Dealing with deja vu. I'm not going to get scientific. If that just helps you have a title to hang things on. Basically, why the repetition? Why the repetition? Why are we seeing this again? Why does God's word do that? Because this isn't the only place we see this happening if we read the Bible through. God's saying the same thing again, and you think, well, he's already said that. He's already spoken to those people. He's already given that instruction. He's already made that quite clear. Why is it here again? Do you know, if you were to read Exodus 25 to 31, where the instructions are given by God to Moses on the mountain, and if you were to read Exodus 35 onwards to chapter 40, you would see that there are important differences in the tense, firstly. It's no longer "you shall make," as God's giving the instruction, but "so they made." And the mood has changed as well. It's moved from instruction to action. And some of the commentaries were actually very helpful in explaining why these things are important to have in the Word of God. And it's this thought that I want us to deal with first. It's a bit of a pretext before we get to these chapters, because we will find a lot of repetition. There will be times we're reading chapters and you think, we've read this. Why are we doing it again? Well, do you know, the repetition is there because God fully intended it to be there. And those words that we read in Psalm 119 were very helpful. "Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed in the heavens." In Proverbs, we read this, "Every word of God proves true." We think of a New Testament equivalent, the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Timothy 3, that all Scripture is God-breathed, even the bits that seem to be repeating. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is helpful for us, for instruction, for training, for rebuke, for correcting and instructing in righteousness. All Scripture is breathed out by God, so that we might be fully equipped for everything God intends us to do. It's the whole of the Scriptures that are able to make us wise to salvation, even the bits that are repeated. And as we'll see towards the end, especially the bits where God repeats what he said. And so this morning, as we look at why the repetition, as we look at dealing with spiritual deja vu when we read our Bibles, where we think, I've already been here before. There's three basic things that we're going to see. The first thing is this, so that we pay attention. So that we pay attention. The second reason, to show the importance of obedience. And the third reason is to demonstrate God's faithfulness. There are much better reasons why we repeat things as we read through God's word. So the first one, so that we pay attention. How many of you as parents have said this? If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Or maybe you've heard it being said to you as a child growing up, your mum or your dad saying, I've told you this so many times. Why is it being repeated? And often as the child, we're kind of thinking, oh, why are you telling me this again? I know it. I know it. But you know, it needs repeating, so we pay attention. And when it comes to what God has said, are we any different to that child who needs to hear that command or that instruction or that warning again? We're not really. In fact, we're probably worse, if we're honest. We need to pay attention to what God says. So God repeats it, because often we're distracted. Often we're distracted. When we're listening to God's word, when we're reading our Bibles, we're distracted. And we read through something, but we're not really paying attention. Maybe like Martha this morning. Such a helpful story that was. We might be distracted doing good things, but we're not actually listening to what God is saying. We're hearing the words, the sound, the audio is reaching our ears, but it's not actually going in. Or maybe we doubt what we read. God said that. Did he really mean that? Is that really what he wanted to say? Did he really mean to give that instruction or to tell them to go and do that? That doesn't sound quite like it should. Maybe God got it wrong and that's not what he meant to communicate. We can doubt. We need to pay attention to what God says when he repeats things sometimes because of denial. Just flatly refusing to accept the truth. Reading something somewhere where God says very clearly, you shall do this or you shall not do that or be like this or be like that or go there or don't go there. But you know, our fallen nature, our sinful hearts, it's actually something we want to do. And we read what God said and we think, you know, but I'm going to go and do it anyway. And then a bit later on, we're reading scripture and that same thing comes up. Somewhere else, and God says it again, and we're still being stubborn, and we read through our Bibles, and we come to something again, somewhere else, with different people and circumstances, but God says the same thing again. And it doesn't matter how many times we deny the truth, it's still the truth. And God has still said it, and he still meant to say it. Sometimes when we continue to disobey, we can become dead to the truth, can't we? When we carry on in a certain sin or lifestyle or action that God's word warns us against or forbids us to have as part of our lives, but we just keep doing it. And after a while, our conscience has become seared. And it no longer bothers us that we're committing that sin. And God repeats the things that he says in his word because he's constantly bringing the truth to bear on our lives because we need to hear it again. Distracted, doubt, denial, disobedience. Sometimes we forget. It doesn't fit with all the D's, does it? Sometimes we don't remember. Because we do. We're not perfect, are we? God remembers everything. He never forgets anything. The only thing he doesn't remember is what he chooses not to remember. And that's the record of our sin. When God says, I will remember your sins no more, he's not forgotten. He's choosing to put it out of his remembrance. But we're not like God and we forget things. We forget anniversaries and birthdays. We forget appointments and bills and deadlines. we forget what God says in his word. So God repeats what he says to remind us of what he said. Because he knows, like we read in the Psalms, that we're just dust. And sometimes we feel like we've got a memory of dust. A little puff of wind in the air and everything's gone. But God reminds us. So he repeats what he says in his word because we need to pay attention. So when we read something in God's word that seems to be the same thing again, it's not right for us to say, I've already heard this and switch off. It's not right for us to say, I already think I understand this, so I don't need to listen here. I've already heard about this or about that or this principle or that command, so I don't need to pay attention. This is for everybody else. I've been here before. No, actually, God is saying it again because he wants us to hear it again. And he's helping us with these things, our distractions, our doubts, our denials and our disobedience and our struggling memories. It's important that we pay attention. We can be like those disciples that Jesus met on the road to Emmaus. When they're talking about all the things as he meets with them on the road, and what does he say to them as they're kind of trying to make sense of it all? Very lovingly he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had said. And he takes them back to everything that God had said, didn't he? And he shows them from the scriptures all that God had said concerning himself. And what does that repetition do? You know, they didn't hear Jesus and go, you know, I've heard that before. I heard that in synagogue school when I was growing up. They told me that. I already know that. Now, as Jesus repeated it to them, as he took them back to what God had said again and again and again, all the things concerning himself, what was their reaction? What did it do for those believers? Did not our heart burn within us? As he opened the scriptures to us as we walked with him on the road? Do you know, as you hear God repeating himself, when you read the word, when you come across again something that God has already said in the scriptures, don't switch off. Pay attention. And think about, why is God saying this to me again? Why do I need to hear this again? What is he bringing me back to again? What is it in my life that I have been kind of fuzzy on or wandering away from? And God is bringing me back to it again. There's a reason why. And have that humility to say, Lord, as you show me why again I'm reading this, why I've come to this again, make my heart burn within me as well. God repeats the warnings. He repeats the encouragements. He repeats the instructions and the commands and the rebukes and the help and the promises. Because he really does care about our lives. He really does want us to know him more. He wants us to walk in those right ways like we read in that psalm. The psalmist repeats and phrases it different ways. That it's God's word, God's truth that's kept him walking in the right way, that's helped him understand what's false and wrong and good and right. That it's God's word that's that lamp to his feet that shows him what he's standing on and the light to his path that shows him the way forward, the right way to go. And that as God repeats these things and reminds him of all his teaching and instruction, it's there to help us go forward. And so he says in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. He doesn't say, I'm bored of your law. He doesn't say, I'm tired of you repeating yourself again and again. He says, I love your law. Because it's what keeps us and helps us and warns us and corrects us. So why the repetition? Because we need to pay attention. God is wanting us to hear again what's right, what's good, what's true, what's about him, what's about us, what's about the world. It's where we understand the whole of life, looking into the scriptures, God's perfect word. And the moment we think we know better, the moment we think we can stop paying attention, the moment we think we know because we've heard it already, brothers and sisters, we are starting to wander away from where it's safe as God's people into dangerous paths. We need to pay attention because we're distracted, we doubt, we deny, we disobey, we don't remember. But why the repetition? Another reason. Why Secondly, to show the importance of obedience. To show the importance of obedience. We're going to be reading these chapters that speak about what God has instructed them to do when it comes to constructing the tabernacle and everything, to see that they actually went and did it. If we just had one half of this record, let's just step back a little bit. If we just had the instruction being given from chapter 25 onwards and not this bit in the chapters we come into, and we get to chapter 40 and we read that God came down and dwelt in the tabernacle, we would have to assume that because God came down, that they got it right. That they did everything that God instructed. If we did it the other way, if we didn't hear the instruction that God gives to Moses on the mountain and we just saw chapters 35 onwards where we're doing it, well, we'd like to assume that Israel were doing it the way God wanted, but there wouldn't have been anything in there to tell us what God had actually commanded them to do. So having both and having it repeated shows us God saying, this is my instruction, and Israel saying, and we're going to do it. You see, it's important to see obedience. Why? Because right from the beginning of the Bible, we set a bad example when people have to make a choice, aren't we? Think of Adam and Eve in that perfect garden. One of the things they're instructed to do is not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're given a command, an instruction to obey. And are we set an example of obedience? Well, we're not, because we're sure that God didn't only say that to them once. But whether they were distracted, they certainly doubted what God had said. Satan deceived them, they doubted, then they disobeyed. And so they weren't obedient. And so right from the start of history, right from the beginning of our Bibles, we're shown what happens when we don't pay attention, when we don't stick to the truth. And think of the mess the world is in now because of that one bad choice. So God repeats things in his word to show the importance of obedience. The record of obedience is as important and necessary as the record of instruction and command. Us seeing that God's people do what God has commanded is as helpful to us as seeing the command being given in the first place. Hearing the instruction again and then seeing it carried out teaches and instructs us the importance about our lives to be obedient to what God has said. It's what the Lord asks and requires of his people, isn't it? That we obey him. Think of that very difficult passage in 1 Samuel chapter 15 when Saul has been given very clear instructions about the Amalekites, the enemies of God's people. And Samuel tells him, God through the prophet tells him, you're to destroy them, you're to wipe them out, everything, all the cattle and all the livestock and everything. Yes, it's a difficult command, but it's what God instructed them to do. And then when Samuel comes back afterwards, he can hear the cattle and the sheep. He can hear the animals. And he says to Saul, what's this that I can hear? And Saul sort of stutters his excuse out, doesn't he? You know, it was the people, and passes the responsibility, passes the buck down the line, and they've kept the best back to sacrifice to the Lord. Let's give it a holy excuse. Let's wrap it up in religion. Because surely Samuel then will be happy. Oh, well, that's okay. You disobeyed, but you did it for good reasons. You did it because you thought it would lead to that the ends would justify the means. But what is it that Samuel says to Saul? It's quite frightening, isn't it? To obey is better than sacrifice. To listen than all the fat, all the best of the offerings that you could give to God. God wants your obedience more. And then he goes on to tell Saul that rebellion, to disobey God, is as bad as witchcraft. What a condemnation. Do you know, it's important for us to see, as God repeats things in his word, to see the obedience followed through. Because the Lord Jesus says to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our love for Christ is seen in our obedience. So when the command is given, and then we get the same thing repeated again, especially here in Exodus, It's to show us the importance of obedience, that God's people getting it right and doing it according to God's way, not saying that the ends will justify the means, not saying that the destination validates and vindicates the journey that we went and got there on. And we've got to be honest, maybe this is something in our lives where something's going on in our lives and it's not right. And we're trying to say that it is because we think it will turn out right in the end, that we think it will have a good outcome. God repeats himself in the word to show us the importance of obedience. And obedience is firstly for his glory. It brings God glory when his people obey. When his people listen to him and trust him and do it and live it out and put it into action, even when it's difficult, it brings God glory. And it's for our good as well. The best path for the Christian to be on is the path of obedience. The most blessed place to be is in the place of obedience, because that's where God has commanded his blessing and his grace. And however difficult the situation might be, we will have all that we need and his strength in abundance. Obedience moves us forward in the grace and goodness of God. It's where we should be and where his blessing is. And how important this is for our generation. Do you know, the world that we are living in is completely anti-authoritarian, isn't it? Did I get that right? Doesn't like authority. People love to have a protest about something. And yes, there are times when it's right to stand up to oppression and wrong and injustice. But it's not right to stand up against the truth of God's word and say, God is wrong, and I'm going to shake my fist at God's truth. But this is what we're seeing more and more, that people look at what God has commanded and repeated in Scripture and said, I don't like that. I don't want to live my life that way. I don't agree. I think popular opinion has overturned what God has been saying forever. And you know, the sad thing is that this is creeping into churches. That what God has said actually is kind of slipping down to a par with what everybody else thinks. The classic example is changing the definition of marriage, isn't it? Because that has really affected churches. Churches saying, well, actually, God said that he created the male and female and in his image, and that marriage is between one man and one woman, and yet now, well, it's whoever and whenever and however and whatever. And churches are saying, well, that's okay because that's what everybody thinks, so that must be okay. And we've stopped being obedient to the word of God. And we've stopped being true to the truth of what God has said, not because we don't like people who think differently to us, but because God has said it. And my view on a biblical understanding of marriage is not because I want to make people who differ from that miserable or unhappy, but because God has said so. And I have to be true to his word. And more churches are facing these challenges. Public opinion. The majority believes this, so we ought to go along with that. But God repeats himself again and again to show us that actually the best thing for the church to be doing is to obey him and to do what he says. And we've got to stay on that footing, brothers and sisters. We cannot move from that. God requires of us to obey him. And to believe his word, however much trouble it gets us in. We're very fortunate at the minute that we can still say these things. But even when we can't, we'll have to still say them and stick to the truth. Because God has said it. Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed in the heavens. And that sets it for us. That's the full stop. God repeats what he says because it's important for us to see what obedience looks like and how important it is. And even if the world around us changes everything, and even if other churches change everything, we must be God's people who say, we will not change from God's truth. And we will stay standing on God's truth. Because it's important for us to obey the Lord and to do what he said. He repeats himself to show the importance of obedience. Thirdly, why the repetition? To demonstrate God's faithfulness. To demonstrate God's faithfulness. We can find it hard to trust people in authority when they keep changing their mind, can't we? Maybe that's what some of the protests are about. In some ways, some of it is right to hold people to account. But we can find it hard to trust people in authority when they change their mind, when they don't keep their promises, when a political party makes a massive manifesto claim and then they get voted in and then they completely go back on it and renege on what they said. You find it hard to trust people when they do that, don't you? But God repeats what he said. There's repetition in the scriptures. He says it again and again because it demonstrates to us God's faithfulness, that he is consistent forever, O Lord. Your word is fixed in the heavens. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The Lord Jesus, not one stroke, not one dot from this law will pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God is consistent to everything that he has said. He will not change his mind, and he's consistent in all that changes. Governments come and go, rulers come and go, economics change, popular opinion shifts from the left to the right, to the middle, up and down and backwards, and then reverse. But God is consistent through it all. It's like a compass. Think of a compass. God is the compass that always points north, no matter how strong the magnet on the side trying to pull it away. He won't change direction. He's consistent and he's faithful, even when we're not. And that's one of the wonderful things that we see about what we're looking at in Exodus, because Israel wasn't faithful. Israel wasn't consistent. As soon as it had the Ten Commandments, they created an idol and they worshipped it. And we're just the same. We're not consistent as we should be. We're up and down. We might be a great Christian on a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, well, wouldn't bring some of those thoughts into church. We're not consistent, but God is. Our circumstances change. One day we're well, the next day we're not. One day there's money in the bank and the next day we've been made redundant and it's gone. One day things are seemingly going well in the family and then the next day there's a disaster that strikes. Think of what happens in the world. Think of Afghanistan. One day things seem to be relatively okay and the next day there's panic and fear and confusion. But his truth, his love, his justice, his holiness, his wisdom, mercy, grace, and power. Here is his record of faithfulness. And God repeats what he said to demonstrate his faithfulness. Our God is utterly dependable. Let me say that again. Our God is utterly dependable. And here's a real encouragement for all the Christians listening this morning. He will not change his mind about you. He will not change his mind about you. Once you are his forever. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. What can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Whatever changes in the world around us, whatever changes in us, our health, our walk with the Lord, even if we wander away and we have a dry time in our lives and we're not walking as we should, he will not change his mind about us. He won't suddenly decide, I don't want you anymore. Oh, that's such a comfort, isn't it? Especially when we know our own lives. And especially when we have those days where we think, Lord, I've done it again. And you've told me so many times about this. You've repeated this to me so many times. And I've just gone and done it again. But it's so wonderful to know. Yes, he might rebuke us. Yes, he might chastise us. He will correct us. Because he's a loving father who disciplines his children. But he won't change his mind about us and say, I don't want you anymore. You've done it too many times. God repeats himself. He shows that he's so faithful again and again. And when we see the repetitions in his word, when we read again what God is saying, it's reminding us he's not changed. He's the same. His love for his people is the same. His attitude towards his people is the same. Though they've wandered, though this and that and whatever. He still says, my people. And another response to this, as well as being comforted, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. It should cause praise to rise up in us that God is the same all the time. He repeats himself to demonstrate his faithfulness throughout history. I'm still the God who saves. I'm still the God who loves. And this is seen most clearly regarding Jesus Christ, the gospel and our salvation, isn't it? Jesus himself said this, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. He was going out to his betrayal, but he's thinking back of everything that had ever been said that was coming to fulfillment in those last few days of his earthly life. Right from the beginning, from Genesis 3:15, when God promises a Savior who would come, God repeats that promise again and again of one who will come. The seed of Abraham who would bless all the nations. Through Moses, the redemption of God's people from slavery, that picture of salvation. Through David, the king and his line. Through the priests and their line and the sacrifices. God's repeating these things again and again. And he's saying, pay attention because my salvation is coming. And I will save and I will do all that I've promised to do. And he repeats it as well, thinking of the importance of obedience to show us God has commanded all to repent. Throughout history, that is the call that God gives to this world. You're sinful and you need to be saved. Repent of your sin. And it's still the same. And what is the consequence of obedience? Well, it's still salvation. And God's faithfulness throughout. As he demonstrates his faithfulness to us in Christ, he still says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. And he means that as much as when he said it through the prophet Isaiah. That's as true now as it was then. God is faithful to save. God is faithful to save. And if you're not a Christian this morning, how many times have you heard the gospel repeated? How many times have you heard the warning that if you're outside of Christ, that you face judgment? How many times has somebody asked you, please repent of your sin and turn and trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior because there's no other way? And how many times will you ignore it or not pay attention or deny it or doubt it? No one knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. Christ's own words are, therefore be ready. Because you do not know when the Son of Man returns. You might hear this repeated again and again, but then a time will come when you don't hear it ever. But it will echo in your mind for eternity in hell. I heard, and I didn't pay attention. Will you pay attention this morning? God is saying again, trust in Christ. Don't ignore what God has said. Let's wrap it up. As we come to God's word, there are times when it repeats. You might have spiritual deja vu. You might think, I've read this, I've seen this, I've heard this, I've thought about this before. Let me encourage you, pay close attention. God intends every word that he's spoken. Look for the obedience and be encouraged. Be instructed to see how you too can be obedient as you see that command repeated. And remember that God is faithful. He will not change. He does not change. I, the Lord, change not. And he says the same thing consistently through his word. I am God. There's no other. You are all accountable to me. But Christ, my Son, is the Savior of sinners. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is true right up until the moment Christ returns. And that's true for you this morning. If you've heard it and done nothing about it, do something now. Don't ignore what God has said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it rightly. Help us to pay attention to what you're saying. Through it, we pray, make us better equipped as your people to be obedient, to serve you faithfully, and to shine with the wonder of the gospel of Christ. Please help us, we pray. We're weak, we get it wrong, we forget, we disobey, we're distracted, we deny it and doubt it at times. Keep us on that right path, we pray. And when we come to these things in your word that we think we can skim over, give us that discipline and that determination to listen to what you're saying. And by your Holy Spirit, Lord, plant it deep in our lives. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. It's only as you work in us through your word. Keep working, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our last song is just reminding us of God's goodness and his faithfulness, that we can stand on every promise of God's word. Thank you. Heavenly Father, help us to keep what we've just said. Help us to stand on every promise of your word and not to shift to the right or to the left. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.